The next argued case is number 20-1537, Military Veterans Advocacy Incorporated against the Secretary of Veterans Affairs. Mr. Gillett, when you're ready.
Thank you, Your Honor. Jeff Quillacy for the petitioner, and may it please the court. The VA promulgated a set of rules in its M21-1 manual in December of 2019. Those rules continue to deny the presumption of service connection to three separate groups of injured veterans whose life-altering and life-threatening conditions resulted from their exposure to Agent Orange and other herbicides during their service in the Republic of Vietnam. Now, the section references in the manual are long and unwieldy, so we referred to them as the Airspace Rule, the Blue Water Navy Rule, and the Thailand Rules. Both the Airspace Rule and the Blue Water Navy Rules, as promulgated, are contrary to U.S. and international law.
Can we start with that airspace rule? So looking at that appendix, page 51, I saw the only change being this capitalization of the letter E. Is that right, if you're looking at just that one in particular?
The change that was made in the difference between the previous section of the manual and the section of the manual that they promulgated in 2019,
yes.
Indeed, in that particular sentence, capitalized one particular word. However, the section that's actually being changed there makes several significant changes to the agency's interpretation of the term service in the Republic of Vietnam, as you can see on that red line there. And as we've pointed out...
Tell me which page of the appendix you're talking about.
Appendix 51, Your Honor. But as we've pointed out in the briefing, the agency doesn't publish just the red lines. The agency action is being challenged in this particular case. It's not the issuance of a red line against the previous manual section. They republish the entire manual section on their website in its entirety, and that new version of the manual section goes into effect at the time that it's published. And
But is that the only substantive change, this capitalization of that letter, or was there any other substantive change for this rule in particular that we're discussing?
On the sentence that is referred to as the air, that is being referred to in the airspace rule, the capitalization change is the only change that was made in that particular promulgation of the section. But as you can see on the red line, there are other changes that are made to the term service in the Republic of Vietnam. This is merely one of them. And the definition of service in the Republic of Vietnam has been substantively changed in that particular section, in that particular section of the manual when it was promulgated in 2019.
So what is your view in terms of how much change there needs to be in order to avoid a statute of limitations problem? Let's assume hypothetically you change the word, you change the spelling, which is where Judge Cunningham started. And then you republish it because you change the spelling or the capitalization of one word. Does that start the clock running again?
If the agency elects to republish the rule in its entirety, that section of the manual in its entirety, then yes, it starts the clock for a challenge to that section of the manual.
Is there what are any case law that supports your position in that regard?
Well, we pointed in the briefing, for example, to the New Mexico Health Connections case from the Tenth Circuit, where the new rule that was issued in that particular case made no substantive changes to the wording of the regulation that was issued at the time. The substance was exactly the same. They changed an explanation of it. And the Tenth Circuit held in that particular case that the new rule had superseded the old rule. And as a result, the statute of limitations would begin running again at the time that the new rule was issued.
Are you seeking here? Let's stick with, I guess, the airplane. What were we talking about? The airplane?
The airspace rule.
The airspace stuff. What do you want the VA to do here?
What we're asking the court for in terms of relief is to strike down that section of the manual and simply leave the regulatory gap that would otherwise exist, so that the veterans who would otherwise be denied the presumption of service connection under the VA's manual provision can instead receive that presumption under the correct interpretation of the Agent Orange Act, Section 1116.
So you think under the Agent Orange Act, in the absence of this, the statute would require that the Thailand rule and the airplane rule create a presumption, that they would automatically, under the statute, unambiguously be a presumption that the high-flying airspace thing that we're talking about, that they would be entitled to a presumption? Have we ever held that?
Not in so many words, Your Honor, but the logic of Procopio does dictate that result, for example, in the case of the airspace rule that we're discussing right now.
So Procopio dealt with 12 nautical miles, right?
In Procopio, the en banc court held that Congress had spoken clearly in using the statutory phrase service in the Republic of Vietnam. And when it spoke, what it invoked was the notion of the Republic's territorial sovereignty. Now, in Procopio, as applied to the facts there, that referred to the 12-mile territorial sea. And the court looked to the UN Convention on the Law of the Sea. It looked to the 1958 Convention.
Yeah,
and
none
so forth.
Of that has any bearing on airspace, right?
However, international law of equally long stature it makes clear that the Republic of Vietnam's sovereign territory includes the airspace both above its landmass.
Just to be clear, whether you're right or wrong, am I missing something? Have we ever has that question ever been adjudicated?
No, that question has not been decided.
Oh, okay, all right. I just wanted to make sure I wasn't missing anything, because, I mean, you're right, and there may be another Procopio out there that involves airspace, but in terms of where the law and practice is right now, veterans are not entitled to a presumption based on the airspace rule.
You would
need a rule to get them. I mean, if you prevail here, there's no automatic legal rule that they're entitled to a presumption that exists anywhere, right? That's something that would have to be adjudicated.
There is not a rule in place in the manual or in the VA's regulations that specifically speaks to airspace in that sense. The point that I'm making is that under this court's decision in Procopio and under the statutory language, the conclusion is inescapable that those veterans would in fact be entitled to the presumption.
Well, that's a legal argument, but I guess that's not been adjudicated. You anticipate that would need to be adjudicated, right?
I anticipate that would need to be adjudicated, but under those cases, I would expect that in the absence of the manual provision, the ROs and the board would in fact reach that decision because the logic of Procopio.
But in order to adjudicate it, you don't need us to do anything in this case, right? If a veteran comes in, he says, I can prove I was in the airspace, I'm entitled to a presumption, and there'd be a case that we could adjudicate. You don't need nothing we do here affects that, right?
Because the M21-1 manual binds the frontline adjudicators at the VA. Those adjudicators, as it stands right now, with the manual provision in place, they can't reach the conclusion that they should under Procopio and the plain text of the statute. The manual prevents them from doing so. And so as a result, the veterans who are affected simply can't get that relief from the frontline adjudicators at the VA.
Okay, can I move you on to the Thailand rule?
Yes.
That also has a little bit of a twist because the VA, at about the same time all of this is being adjudicated and appealed, as you know probably better than I, the VA has decided to do substantive rulemaking on Thailand. So I don't understand how does what you're seeking in this case, which I assume you're very happy about, that they're undertaking the rulemaking on Thailand. So what are you seeking in our case? Are you seeking something that would not obviate the need to do rulemaking because automatically all of these folks would be entitled to a presumption? What are you seeking here?
Again, the manual provision as it stands is treating like veterans in a dissimilar manner. That's the way that the Thailand rules currently operate. They grant the presumption to service members whose duties took place at the perimeter of these Thailand bases, but not to those who were
But the VA is undertaking rulemaking, so presumably there's going to be input and notice and comment and clarification of that, which could be challenged by you or by others if you don't like what the outcome is. So it seems to me, what is this, going this route, challenging this, serve? What would you expect the court to say? Would you think that we would say something that would obviate the need for the court for the VA to do any rulemaking?
No, not necessarily. The VA would certainly be capable of doing rulemaking in the wake
of
the decision.
What should
here.
We say about what is the relief you seek from us?
The relief, again, that we seek would be striking down the existing manual provision, as arbitrary and capricious because it's treating similarly situated service members dissimilarly. And as a result, allowing the service members who would be affected by the manual provision as it stands to make their arguments to the regional offices, to those frontline adjudicators, and get the result that they are precluded from getting under the current manual provision.
And let me ask you just back to sort of a follow-up to Judge Cunningham's questions with respect to the other rule. This is also a statute of limitations issue question arises because this was early 2010, right, or 1993? One of them was 1993 and one was 2010.
The airspace provision, there was a general counsel decision in 1993 that they referred to.
So this one is 2010.
2010 is what they...
So the complaint you're raising here with treating people differently, was that the change that was made between 22 and the more recent publication of this?
No, the substantive provision, as we've discussed before, in the Thailand rule was the wording was changed only very slightly in the 2019 promulgation of the rule.
Uh-huh.
The argument that we're making, however, is that the agency had before it all of the information that it needed. It had promised to do rulemaking in response to petitions that had been submitted as early as 2015, and it re-promulgated this rule in 2019 while maintaining the arbitrary and capricious distinction that that had previously.
So there's no change, though. There's no what you're seeking as being the problem in the rule existed in 2010, the same as it existed in the republic.
The wording was the same, the wording of that portion of the manual was the same in 2010 as it is in 2019. However, since we've been discussing the Thailand rule, the agency does not object, make any attempt to show that the rule as it exists is not arbitrary and capricious. They simply don't address any of the evidence whatsoever in their briefing. The agency's only objection is that the relief that we're seeking is premature because they've promised to do rulemaking. Of course, the agency has been promising to do rulemaking on Thailand since at least 2017 and has, other than promulgating the rule that it did in 2019, which made no changes to that particular
substance. Well, you say they've been promising. Didn't they do something recently that was more substantive than that, like announcing they're doing rulemaking, not promising?
In 2017, in response to the Beck report.
No, what did they do in 20 or 22?
What? In 2020, they responded to a petition from MVA, and again said that they would be doing rulemaking, but they haven't given a date for it or any sort of schedule. It's the same. It's a promise to do so at some point in the future.
The third leg of this case is the Blue Water Navy change. And I will tell you candidly, maybe it's me, I'm not understanding what you're arguing about in this case. I don't understand. So could you just explain to me what you're seeking and what the problem is with this rule?
Absolutely. As with the other two, what we're seeking is for the manual provision that was promulgated in 2019 to be struck down. The Blue Water Navy rule that was promulgated in the manual unambiguously makes substantive changes to the way that the
Where
Blue
is
Water
it?
Navy...
What's the page in the appendix? I'm sorry,
let me pull that up. I believe it is... It's in the 20s. Find it right here. Starting at appendix 16, excuse me, is the Blue Water Navy rule. It does two specific things that affect the substantive change. First of all, it removes from the regional offices and those frontline adjudicators any authority whatsoever to adjudicate the presumption of service connection for herbicide exposure for these veterans. And it assigns that responsibility to new centralized processing teams.
Yeah, but I thought you really didn't have that much of a beef in your briefs with this claim processing thing, recognizing that, frankly, probably everybody thinks it's a good idea to help these Blue Water Navy people have their claims expeditiously processed. So I thought you said I'm not really complaining about that. What we're really complaining about is something else. And I want to know what that, if I'm correctly asserting your position, what's the something else?
You're correct. We do not object to them shifting the processing to centralized teams, but they only granted part of the authority to the centralized processing teams. And they've left a gap where there are veterans who simply can't get the relief that they need.
That's a nice statement, but it doesn't give them.
On appendix,
what are you talking? What specifically are you talking about that veterans are denied that they should have it?
On appendix 16, for example, the authority that is granted to the centralized teams in that first bullet at the very bottom of the page is to adjudicate or to concede qualifying service, which to include service on the eligible offshore waters as defined in the new law. And that new law is the Blue Water Navy Act, Public Law 116-23. So the authority that's been granted to the centralized processing system is only to concede service connection within the geographic points that are defined in the Blue Water Navy Act. Now, the Blue Water Navy
Act... and service in inland waterways and service... So what more are you saying they should... So you're saying they're essentially excluding certain veterans from including this presumption.
Correct.
What group are you? Are they excluding?
The Agent Orange Act, which is codified at 1116, is a separate statutory section from the Blue Water Navy Act, which is codified in the following section, 1116A. And the Agent Orange Act has a broader scope than the Blue Water Navy Act. They've assigned here... authority for, as far as naval veterans go, they've assigned to the centralized authority, the centralized processing teams, the authority to grant the service connection within the areas covered by the Blue Water Navy Act, but not those covered by the broader
scope of the Agent Orange. So they're not talking about, this isn't intended, I mean, they're doing this processing not for people who had, what is the phrase they use, foot on the land. Is that what you're saying, that they should have put the foot on the land people?
This does not involve the boots on the ground or foot on the land.
Okay. So what are we talking about? I mean, you've got the Blue Water Navy Act, and you've got the boots on the ground, which was, prior to Procopio, what the Agent Orange Act had determined, what we had concluded was the presumptive stuff. So what else is there? What are you saying should have been in here? What specific group of veterans... service should have been articulated here that is left out of either of the statute, of the Blue Water Navy statute?
The Agent Orange Act and its reference to service in the Republic of Vietnam was understood by the VA for a decade after the enactment of the Agent Orange Act to include service anywhere in the entire theater of conflict surrounding Vietnam. They issued regulations in 1991, and they didn't change those until 2002. And so the proper scope of the presumption that is afforded in the Agent Orange Act covers that entire theater.
Now, you just got to be a little more specific. I'm sorry, am I asking just a stupid question? Are you talking about certain waterways, certain non-land locations other than the 12-mile nautical rule established by Procopio?
Yes.
You got to be more specific. And you're saying we had a regulation in 91, but we got rid of it in 2002, so it's not in existence. So what coverage has been adjudicated for what group of people's service that's been adjudicated that should exist and is excluded from this? Tell me, are we talking about water service?
We're talking about naval service.
Naval service.
In the theater of conflict for in the Southeast Asian, the Vietnamese theater of conflict, the area that was covered by the Vietnamese service medal.
Are you worried about Phu Quoc? Like, what are you worried about? I think that's...
Phu Quoc is an example of how the coverage of the Agent Orange Act is separate from that in the Blue Water Navy Act. So Phu Quoc Island is covered under the 12-mile territorial sea, whereas it's not within the points that are outlined in the Blue Water Navy Act. But as I've mentioned, the Agent Orange Act doesn't simply cover the 12-mile sea. In Procopio, this court held that it included at least the 12-mile
Well, Procopio came, as you well know, after 10 years of litigation and our court having decided the reverse before. So Procopio says we're going to do something that's not been done before, that we've never said before, that we've said the opposite, and we're going to extend the boundaries of the foot on land to include this 12 nautical miles. So I'm just thinking, it sounds to me, and I don't want to undermine your position, that there are other stuff that you plan to adjudicate or you think is covered by the Agent Orange Act, but that this court has never said was covered and is goes beyond what Procopio said, and you want the Veterans Administration to put that in the reg. Am I being unfair?
I certainly wouldn't characterize it that way. The regulations that the VA issued in the wake of the Agent Orange Act, section things like 38 CFR 3.307, that includes in the presumption, as they've interpreted the Agent Orange Act, the waters offshore the Republic of Vietnam. And that regulatory language has never changed since the 1990s, and the VA uniformly interpreted that for a decade after it issued that regulation as including the entire theater of conflict where the Vietnam Service Medal could be issued.
But part of the problem that concerns me in Procopio, as we're talking about it, there was evidence that even in this area, this blue water area, and then the line was drawn sort of in the statutory at 12 miles, I don't know if the evidence went out, but there was evidence of contamination of the water, drinking water, the air. But I didn't see such evidence here, certainly not for Johnston Island. And the attempt to show that there was at least a reasonable possibility, not a probability.
You are correct, Your Honor. In this particular case, there's a second case for MVA that's coming up later in the session today that concerns Johnston Island. In this particular case, we're not making an argument based on specific evidence in front of the agency. This is a statutory interpretation question as to the Blue Water Navy Act.
But the group that you're saying you think is covered by the water stuff, have we ever adjudicated that?
No, this court has not addressed that.
And it's something that you may well adjudicate, but it's nothing, I mean, as I said, this court went through 10 years of effort to just get the, following up on what Judge Newman said, to just get the expansion for Blue Water Navy and spilled a lot of ink explaining why we think that ought to be covered. We've not gone there with respect to the other areas that you're concerned about, right?
This court has not held specifically.
That was the clarification.
Absolutely true.
Sorry to take so long.
One last question. Page 52, is that also kind of a good summary of what you were talking about on BWN?
Are you referring to Appendix 52?
Yes, I am.
Let me pull that up.
Just to make sure I'm on the same page.
That's part of the same section of the manual, and you can see it's heavily edited, and there are significant substantive changes. That is part of the change that was made that we refer to as the Blue Water Navy rule. Yes, absolutely. And I'm well over my time, so.
Thank you.
Unless there are any other questions, thank you.
Okay, let's hear from the VA. Mr. O.
May it please the court. I'd like to start by addressing two of the three issues in this case. First, as the court is aware, there are three colloquial rules that are being challenged in this case. The airspace rule, the Vietnamese airspace rule, the Thailand rule, and the Blue Water Navy rule. With respect to the Thailand rule and the Vietnamese airspace rule, those are time barred. I'd like to point the court to three cases that might be helpful. They cite a Tenth Circuit case. It's not a statute of limitations case. It's a mootness case. It doesn't reference 2401, which is the statute of limitations statute at issue in this case. They do cite NOVA, and NOVA actually says in note,
Is this all covered in your brief, by the way?
Because we raised the statute of limitations argument in our response, and then they came back and said, well, republishing the...
Okay.
Yeah, they argued republishing restarts the statute of limitations. But what NOVA says in note 16 is manual provisions that merely republish...
Which NOVA case?
NOVA 2020, the unbanked one.
Okay.
Manual provisions that merely republish prior agency interpretations are not reviewable under Section 502. And then note 16 cites Hyatt, a previous decision of this court in 2018. Agency renewals of an earlier decision do not restart the statute of limitations. They also cite D.C. Circuit cases that say the same thing. So this is pretty decisive. If all you're saying is we're republishing the rule, you're not substantively changing it, that doesn't re-trigger the statute of limitations.
And what about the Tenth Circuit? You said that that was a mootness.
It's not a statute of limitations case. It's a mootness case. And it does involve a rulemaking, but they were arguing that a new iteration of a rule mooted the prior one. And so that's a different sort of question. It doesn't even touch Section 2401. So that case is not relevant. The only case they do cite, and they use a see also signifier or call signal for that case, which I think is why they use that call signal. The case immediately preceding that is Nova, and Nova just undermines their position that they're taking in this case. So that's one easy way, I think, to just kind of dispel of the Vietnamese airspace and the Thailand rules.
Do you agree the change is as limited as I was discussing with your opposing counsel? But then they tried to indicate that there were some more changes that were being made and point to some
I think what they're trying to do, because their position is by virtue of republishing the rule, you're restarting it, they're pointing to other irrelevant sections and saying, look at all these other changes that are going on here. So clearly this was in its totality a big change in total, so look at that. But really what the court has to do is look at the specific thing they're challenging, and here that's the airspace rule, and say, okay, on APPX page 52, for the airspace rule, what change did they make? They capitalized knee. That's not a substantive change. That doesn't re-trigger the statute of limitations. I will note, just for full disclosure, in Hyatt, which I think is a really helpful case, if you go to that case, Judge Hughes says you can actually republish a rule and restart the statute of limitations if, and this is a big if it shows a serious reconsideration on the part of the agency. If there were strong evidence that the agency went back in time and said, let's reconsider the rule, and there was a thoughtful, deliberative kind of rulemaking process all over again, Hyatt says, okay, now you've restarted it.
By the way, we've also had a lot of cases called Hyatt. So, which what you and when you said Judge Hughes, I mean, I think Hyatt, and I think of the en banc and so forth.
Oh, it wasn't.
So what was the year, or do you have the cite for that?
Yeah, I do. It's 904 F3D 1361. It's actually cited in Note 16 of Nova 2020.
Okay, thank you.
The en banc decision. So we think the statute of limitations is a very convenient way to kind of just dispose of those issues because they are time barred. That doesn't mean they're out of ways to kind of vindicate that right. You can always seek a petition for rulemaking. You can adjudicate an individual claim. These issues can be revisited. But at least for purposes of this case under Section 502, we think they're time barred. The real meat of this case is what they call the Blue Water Navy rule. And I do want to get into that because I think there is some question about what they're really challenging here. So, and I don't want to characterize my friend's position here, but the way I understand it, what they're saying is there's the Agent Orange Act. There's a particular interpretation of the Agent Orange Act under Procopio, how territorial waters were defined. And they're saying you measure out 12 miles out from the coastline. And that's in the Republic of Vietnam. Those offshore waters count. In the meantime, after that decision, you have the Blue Water Navy Act. We believe the Blue Water Navy Act codifies Procopio because the legislative history supports that, the text seems to support that, and you have this determination of offshore in the Blue Water Navy Act, subpart D of the statute, that says, notwithstanding under any other provision of law, this is how you define offshore for in-service claims in the Republic of Vietnam. What they're arguing is that there's a delta. There's a difference between those two statutes. What they're saying is, and I think this is based on a misinterpretation of Procopio. Where Procopio said the core thrust of the holding in that case is territorial waters are included. And that can include, under international law conventions, up to 12 nautical miles out. So that's what it said. It could be less. I think even during the oral argument, they said, well, it could be 3, it could be 12, it could be, you know, a variety of things, but under the conventions of international law, it could be 12. So what they're saying is, no, it's 12. Now, when you get the Blue Water Navy...
They're saying, meaning they who? Our court? Or
the my friend over here on the other side. So he's saying, no, it's 12 and possibly more if you include all these regulations, the Vietnam service medal policy, which, by the way, when they're talking about theater of conflict, that they're talking about service members in Guam and Hawaii. It literally reaches across the globe. So, but let's not take that regulatory argument, which expands it beyond any reasonable interpretation, and just stick with the interpretation of Procopio. They're saying, no, it means 12 everywhere, all around. Just imagine like a Rorschach kind of drawing around the Republic of Vietnam. If you take the Blue Water Navy Act, the Blue Water Navy Act actually took the coordinates for what counted as the territorial waters of that country at the time the Agent Orange Act was enacted, and it drew a line. And when you look at the line, sometimes it's less than 12 miles. And the reason why it's less than 12 miles at some points is because They didn't claim certain parts as their territorial waters. It actually took direct evidence and said, what coordinate points did the Socialist Republic of Vietnam count as their territorial waters? So you get this drawing around the country, and in some places it's less than 12 miles. And again, under international conventions, under Procopio, the holding of that case is the territorial waters count. It wasn't necessarily that 12 miles always counts. It was that it can be up to 12 miles. That was the holding in that case.
What about, and I don't know if I'm pronouncing this right, but Fuqua, what about that? I talked a little bit with your friend about that.
Yeah, so that is a dicey thing, but again, we're using the same coordinates that the Socialist Republic of Vietnam claimed in 1982 to claim the territorial waters. They didn't claim anything regarding the Fuqua Islands, regarding the waters surrounding that territory. So it got cut out under the Blue Water Navy Act. But I think the central holding in Procopio is that the territorial waters count. The Blue Water Navy Act said, yes, the territorial waters count. Let's draw these lines based on the coordinates that the Socialist Republic of Vietnam claimed, and it drew it. And then it codified Procopio. Their argument is that, well, no, the Blue Water Navy Act didn't necessarily codify Procopio. It actually did something else. It did something broader. It actually included the entire Vietnamese theater of conflict. There is essentially no limitation regarding how broadly the statute...
Well, I'm really confused now because
sure.
I thought what the regulation this thing does is codify... I thought their complaint was, don't you cite the Blue Water Navy Act? Isn't that what this says?
We do cite...
I'm misunderstanding you because they seem to be saying... Wait, what's 116-23?
The Blue Water Navy Act.
Okay, so they seem to be complaining, and that's what the reg says. They seem to want something more than the Blue Water Navy Act.
They do.
Not what you seem to be saying is they want, they're complaining we're not giving them what they get under the Blue Water Navy Act. They seem to be saying it's not enough to codify the Blue Water Navy Act because the Agent Orange Act gave us more than the Blue Water Navy.
That's right.
And
if I misstated something, that what you're saying, Judge Prost, is entirely accurate. What they're saying is they're actually challenging something that the manual doesn't say. They're saying, well, you concede claims for Blue Water Navy Act claims, but what about the offshore Agent Orange Act claims? Why isn't that also manifested in the provision? But essentially what they're asking the court to do is say, can you also urge the VA or order the VA to institute a rule in the manual that also says Agent Orange Act offshore water claims are included.
Has anybody ever said that?
Nobody's ever said that. That would be putting the court in the position of legislating.
I mean, they can adjudicate that. Are there cases pending where veterans have claimed, as they did for decades on the Blue Water Navy, people had numerous claims pending before the VA for their a presumption.
I'm not aware of anyone taking this new position below. Conceivably, they could adjudicate it. I do know that the VA is, and this is a high priority for them because they've been tasked by Congress to do so, but promulgating a regulation regarding the bounds and scopes of the Blue Water Navy Act. So this is something the VA is in the active practice of doing for purposes of applying the Blue Water Navy Act. But I think what the petitioner is asking the court to do is to use the M21 manual. The court should, you know, take it away from the VA, compel the VA to pass a rule that says something the M21-1 manual doesn't say, and then make that the new rule. But that, again, puts the court in a position of legislating. And I know this point, I'll just end with this point. You can't have it both ways. You can't say that the VA can't promulgate rules in the M21-1 manual without notice and comment and then seek to invalidate it. And on the other hand, say, court, you have to come and force the VA to promulgate a rule in the M21-1 manual without notice and comment. They're inherently contradictory positions. We respectfully request that the court dismiss or deny a VA's petition.
Well, maybe they could say that, depending on the evidence. A lot of time has passed. The opportunity, the manifestations of illnesses that some take years to develop, but might very well have started with an exposure.
Judge Newman, I take your point. I think it would really depend on what the manual says and what the petitioners coming into this court would be asking the court to do. What they are asking the court to do is not simply invalidate that Blue Water Navy Act provision. They want that provision. What they're asking the court to do is add on to the manual compel the VA to add on to the menu. And that's something we think is a different variety, something that 502 jurisdiction wouldn't normally allow. With all respect, we request that the court dismiss or, in the alternative, deny the petition of MVA.
Okay. Thank you. Mr. Kalichi.
Thank you, Your Honor.
Could you respond to what he just indicated? He said, you guys are asking, I just want to make sure that we're meeting.
I disagree with the government on that point. We're not asking the court to legislate. We're not asking the court to issue new rules or write new sections of the M21-1 manual. We're asking to invalidate the sections that we're challenging so that affected veterans can make their arguments to those frontline adjudicators that they should be given the presumption under the statute as it stands.
So tell me, can you look at what you're saying in terms of how you would rewrite it? Because this will, I mean, a lot of this we all agree is very good for the veterans because they're doing this new processing stuff, which hopefully will speed things up. So what exactly you want them to take out, the sentence that refers to the Blue Water Navy stuff?
The change that was made in 2019 that removes the authority from the frontline adjudicators to concede service connection for Blue Water Navy veterans and then assigns only part of the appropriate statutory authority to the centralized teams simply leaves some of those veterans out in the cold. The veterans.
You think the whole thing should go away and we should wipe out this new centralized system?
That the, at least the frontline adjudicators should be able to concede service connection under the statute as it stands.
So tell me, we both got in front of me. Look at A16 and tell me, my question is, do you want us to just get rid of it entirely, which would get rid of, I guess, this new claims processing for Blue Water Navy veterans and everybody else? Or how would you have us rewrite it?
Removal of the authority from the ROs is certainly what we would want to strike. So, for example, from bottom of Appendix 16 to the top of 17, there's a sentence that says, effective immediately, ROs are no longer authorized to establish if a veteran's service qualifies for herbicide exposure in RVN claims.
Okay.
And that prevents those frontline adjudicators from actually reaching the full extent of the statutory.
Sorry to take your time on rebuttal.
No, not at all. A couple of other points that I would want to make in response. The government's argument is entirely about the government's argument on the Blue Water Navy provision, the Blue Water Navy rule, is entirely about the new statute, the Blue Water Navy Act that was passed in the wake of Procopio. They simply don't get into the proper scope of the presumption that is established by the Agent Orange Act in its own separate statutory section. And as this court has commented, our position is that the Agent Orange Act covers a different area than the Blue Water Navy Act itself covers. So, for example, there are, we give the example of Focuk Island. There are certainly others that could have been brought up, the Paracels, Yankee Station, other things like that that were outside of the 12-mile territorial sea. I will push back on one other thing that the government has said. In Procopio itself, the government conceded, and the opinion notes this at least twice, including one additional time in Judge Lurie's concurrence, the government conceded that the waters offshore of the Republic of Vietnam that are covered under the VA's regulations, like 3.307, they conceded that the waters offshore of the Republic of Vietnam extend beyond the 12-mile sea. And if you look at the geographic points that are actually in the Blue Water Navy.
Did Procopio discuss that in the opinion?
Yes. Twice they noted that the government conceded that the waters offshore.
Do you happen to have a cite? I have the opinion.
I believe it's 1375 and 1377 in the opinion. That would be 913 F3rd, yes, at 1377 and 1379.
Okay, thank you.
Yes. And then again, as I said, Judge Lurie noted that in his concurrence as well. In addition, the Blue Water Navy Act, contrary to what I believe the government said during its presentation, the Blue Water Navy Act does not, it always extends to at least the 12-mile boundary, at least as I understand it. And we are not, as the government has suggested, trying to extend coverage to Guam or Hawaii or places like we're looking at the area that is covered by the Vietnam Service Medal. That's a specific set of geographic points. We cite the executive order and the Department of Defense regulations that establish those areas. Those are in our briefing as well. And I can certainly point those out if need be. I believe I'm out of time again.
I had just one last one. What parts of the BWN Act are coextensive with the Agent Orange Act? Can you just kind of give me...
They do overlap quite a bit. Right. The Agent Orange Act, as I said, extends to the entire theater of conflict, and that will cover the areas within the geographic points to a large extent. It will cover the geographic points that are listed in the Blue Water Navy Act itself. And I should point out, because the government brought it up, the Blue Water Navy Act does not purport to define what the term offshore means. It simply sets a floor. If you look at Section 1116A, Subpart D, what it says is that regardless of any other statutes, for the purposes of this section, the following areas must be treated as if they were offshore. So those are included as a minimum, but it does not set a ceiling on what could be included in the Blue Water Navy Act. It certainly does not purport to limit the presumption that is afforded in the separate statutory section preceding the Agent Orange Act itself.
Okay. All right. Thank you. Thanks to counsel. This case is taken under submission.